When we think of protein, red meat is usually the first thing that comes to mind, but that is only part of the protein story. In this short episode, I would like to address some of the most commonly held myths around dietary protein. But first, my founding belief when it comes to nutrition is that no good meal plan should exclude any macronutrient. There's a place for protein, fats, and carbs in everyone's life as long as they're not processed and are the best quality you can afford and are as close to organic or pesticide-free as possible. Paying more attention to where your food comes from and worrying less about its calorie content is going to result in much better long-term health. Before getting started on the subject of protein, I feel that it's necessary to emphasize that for many years, in my early 20s, I was vegetarian and for a short time dabbled in veganism for no reason other than the fact that I didn't particularly enjoy eating red meat in any of its forms. It was at this point in my life that my thyroid stopped working and I developed a number of autoimmune conditions. I did not connect the dots until my instinct for survival overrode my food preferences and I began once again including animal protein. So within a very short period of time, many of these issues I'd been dealing with cleared up and my thyroid health improved, but it never came back to normal. And together with better eating and resistance training, I lost 15% body fat in a relatively short period of time. So while there are people who claim to thrive on plant protein, I wasn't one of them. And I can confidently state that after 20 years in the nutrition industry and having worked with hundreds of individuals, when you optimize your animal protein intake, body composition improves and many health issues disappear. This may sound contrary to what you've heard on social media, which only emphasizes the point that there is no definitive answer. What works well for a period of time in someone's life may not work well at other times. And we've all had a tendency to become evangelical when we discover something that works until it doesn't. The science behind this is clear. Proteins are the building blocks of life itself and can only be obtained in the foods we eat. Protein is broken down into amino acids and peptides, which are tiny molecules that perform many processes that keep us healthy. Humans process proteins into amino acids very differently to other animals, as we have unique stomach acids, bile acids, and gastric functions that are different to that of primates and other animals. We need to consume food sources of protein to build muscle, support our skeletal structure, and maintain healthy brain function as we age. Every organ and tissue in your body requires dietary proteins. Your immune system needs protein to function optimally, and even the neurotransmitters serotonin and dopamine are made from dietary proteins. Possibly the most important function is detoxification. In order for your liver to facilitate the most important phases of detox, amino acids found only in dietary protein attach to the fatty toxins in your liver, rendering them water soluble so that they can be safely eliminated. It is for this reason that water and juice fasting is counterintuitive. If you really want to detox or cleanse, you're simply not providing your liver with the most important components that facilitate safe detoxification if you're not taking in enough protein. Anyone who has done a juice or water fast can tell you how awful they feel, and this is predominantly a lack of amino acids. One of the most interesting questions is, how does protein facilitate fat loss? This has to do with something called nitrogen balance. Almost all nitrogen in the body is found in protein. Protein contains approximately 16% nitrogen by weight, so 1 gram of nitrogen is equal to 6.25 grams of protein. If your nitrogen balance is positive, you will be in an anabolic state, meaning that you are more likely to burn fat as energy. You have metabolically active tissue that burns fat even at rest. If your nitrogen balance is negative, you will be in a catabolic state, meaning that your body is using your muscle mass for energy and holding on to fat stores. Stress produces nitrogen loss, driven by the catabolic actions of cortisol and epinephrine. Alcohol and fructose intake is also strongly connected to nitrogen depletion. So nitrogen balance is the difference between nitrogen excreted from the body and nitrogen ingested in the form of dietary protein. This explains the statement that muscle is built in the kitchen and burned in the gym, meaning you don't build muscle during exercise. You break muscle in the gym and repair it with the protein you eat. Fat burning isn't, however, just down to eating protein. There are a number of other factors that go into sustainable fat loss, specifically hormone balance. But this is a very important part of the picture, as being anabolic plays a big part in regulating hormones. So how much protein should you be eating? I work on 2 grams of protein per kilo of total body weight. And that means if you weigh 50 kilograms, you need 100 grams of protein every day. 100 grams of chicken does not equal 100 grams of protein. 100 grams of chicken contains around 20 grams of protein. So to get to the benchmark of 100 grams, you should be eating a moderate amount of protein in every meal from a variety of sources, including eggs, fish, some dairy if tolerated, red meat, organ meat, and shellfish. These foods also contain essential nutrients for the brain and your immune system. I've linked tools and more information for you to work out how much protein you need and dietary sources of protein in the show notes. As I mentioned earlier, food quality, how your food was raised or grown and how it arrived on your plate, should always be the very first question in your mind when deciding what to eat. It is extremely tricky to get enough protein eating only plants. Exclusively plant-based nutrition works for very few people, and the people it does work for often have a nutritionist calculating and monitoring very specific nutritional benchmarks to keep them healthy. Ultimately, there comes a time when 100% plant-based stops working altogether for most people. It's also strongly advised that children are not fed exclusively, plant-based meals. And for this reason, I recommend a nutrition plan that contains a balance of both animal and plant foods to make sure that there are no deficiencies. In summary, where possible, choose free-range, wild, or organic proteins. Quality is more important than quantity. No processed meals ever. So polonies, chicken nuggets are not sources of protein. These are junk foods. These are processed foods. You know, the studies which demonize protein, the China study, all these sort of pseudo studies don't actually look at protein consumption. They look at processed meat consumption, which is not what I even define as a source of clean dietary protein. Remember that protein controls cravings. If you are craving sugar, your protein content is often lacking. Every cell in the human body requires protein to function optimally. Proteins are used to make neurotransmitters and manufacture hormones. It also fuels muscle contraction and helps your immune system fight disease and keep your skeletal structure strong into aging. Protein is a major component of bones, muscles, and other organs and is essential for growth and development at every stage of life. Whether you're elderly, whether you're young, or whether you're in between, we all need the right amount of protein in order to thrive.